Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Wow, what a weekend, Andy. Russell Westbrook has fired his agent. LeBron and Rich Paul appear to be trolling him. And we're both in the midst of life changes. It's been quite crazy. That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends, whenever news breaks, Andy, we bring it to you. I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. It's been a really inconvenient weekend, Andy, for things to happen, because I don't know how much different this sounds to people listening to the pure audio product. Andy is in an empty room because he just moved. So that explains the echo, which even I can hear. I'm in a hotel, which explains the background. And all these things are happening, Andy, happening around us. And it starts with Russell Westbrook firing his agent because his agent has decided that he cannot in good conscience let Russell Westbrook try to force his way out of LA or something like that. We're going to do something we don't normally do on a podcast. And I know this is, I think, you know, you suggested this and I think you're right. We're going to read, it's Thad, I think it's Fouché.
We think it's Fouché.
Or Foucher in America. But we'll go with Fouché because that's what we think it is. This statement.
Either way, it's the guy that no longer works with Russell Westbrook.
Right.
That's really. Let's not bury the lead, Brian.
Not gonna work here anymore.
Let's be honest. The dude's never gonna rep us. What difference does it make if we totally accidentally offend him?
Yeah, that's true. But like, you know, this is generally speaking, whether you're doing live radio or you're doing a podcast or whatever it is, reading long blocks of text is generally not good. But this statement that was put out on the record by Russ's now former agent is so remarkable that it really is worth reading the whole thing.
Shall we trade off paragraphs, Brian?
Sure. This is to tell you how long it is. It's multiple paragraphs.
Yes, but just neither one of us gets winded along the way. Right. Pulls a hammy, something like that.
It's like in third grade when you're doing reading aloud and you just, after every paragraph, the next person at the desk reads. So here we go. I represented Russell Westbrook for 14 years, and I am proud of our partnership, which included a highly successful 2008 draft, a supermax contract, and the only renegotiation and extend max contract in history. I also supported Russell through his rise into a prominent fashion industry figure and recently orchestrated three successive trades on Russell's behalf, culminating with the trade to his hometown, Los Angeles Lakers.
Each time, teams gave up valuable players and assets to acquire Russell. And each time, a new organization embraced his arrival. We did it together with grace and class.
Now, with the possibility of a fourth trade in 4 years, the marketplace is telling the Lakers they must add additional value with Russell in any trade scenario. Parenthetical here, editor's note, additional value means the market is telling the Lakers they have to give up first-round picks in order to make this work. End editorial, end parentheses. And even then, such a trade may require Russell to immediately move on from the new team via a buyout.
My belief is that this type of transaction only serves to diminish Russell's value, and his best option is to stay with the Lakers, embrace the starting role and support that Darvin Ham has publicly offered. Russell is a first ballot Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame player and will prove that again before he is retired.
Unfortunately, irreconcilable differences exist as to his best pathway forward, and we are no longer working together. I wish Russell and his family the very best.
End quote.
Again, I am not casting judgment necessarily on the right or the wrong, although we'll get to that, or any of these things.
When we cast judgment.
Right. When we get to the judgment section of the podcast, I will do all of those things. But currently, I am not. I would just like to note that we have covered sports now for about 20 years. NBA, Major League Baseball, football, whatever.
Even bass fishing.
Yes, we wrote a book about bass fishing. Good book. I have never seen an agent this candid about why a relationship with a prominent client broke up. Like, this is, maybe I'm missing something, but this feels relatively unprecedented to me. I cannot come up with an analog for it.
I actually thought about it, and I forget a statement at this type of level. I can't remember an agent ever putting out a statement that he and his client or she and his client parted ways. I actually can't even think about that happening at all.
It just sort of happens, and then you read about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, you know, I mean, these things take place, and the athlete gets a new agent, and the agent gets new clients, and everybody goes about their merry way.
I mean, I could tell you, Andy and I used to have an agent, and when he stopped representing us, he didn't even bother calling. He just sort of, like, literally just stopped representing us. Like,
Brian and I have the, I think, unique distinction of being, this is not hyperbole, the least important clients at both CAA and ICM. But for people unfamiliar, those are massive agencies.
Right.
Those are some of the absolute
least
best.
Important clients.
We were, but I honestly think being the least important client at a massive agency like ICM and CAA smokes in terms of stature being the most important client at some BS boutique agency.
I tell you what, when we were dropped, nobody released a statement like this saying that we have completely lost our minds in terms of understanding our value.
No.
So, like, for people who need a little help, we'll just post a statement for the YouTube folks so they can look at it again. Basically, what I take this to mean, and I think it's fairly obvious, is that Thad, you know, Fouché is saying that Westbrook is making a massive mistake in terms of trying, it would be making a massive mistake in terms of trying to push his way out of Los Angeles. That the Lakers are at least offering him a kind of an off ramp, and all of this stuff. And Russ to be traded again, where the Lakers have to give up value, give up first round picks, a bad look for Russ. He goes somewhere where he gets bought out. It's a bad look for Russ. And the best path is to stay with the Lakers. Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times, great LA Times beat writer, did instantly tweet out almost after this was done that Russell Westbrook, according to multiple sources, did not actually request a trade. He's never requested a trade from the Lakers. So, you know, the statement indicates to me that Westbrook was certainly moving in that direction. I mean, the irony here, Andy, is does Russell Westbrook really need to demand a trade or ask for a trade? I'm pretty sure the Lakers are willing to do that for him anyway.
No, I mean, this would be one way that they would like to work with him. I mean, they could get on the same page that way if he wants to be traded. Like, in that particular sense, Brian, it might be the strongest the relationship has been with Russ and the Lakers since he got there.
I feel like this is the one thing that everybody agrees on.
Yeah, I mean, it felt to me, because especially after that detail from Wojcicki, that Russ had never asked for a deal. And also, because Russ had, whether to his credit or because his agent had been, now ex-agent, had been begging him to do this, and he was being, in his mind, a good soldier, he had been having these communications with Darvin Ham. He had showed up to Darvin Ham's introductory press conference. He was in summer league, sitting along the bench with the players, by multiple accounts, really coaching up these young guys and really giving them advice. And by all appearances,
rubbing the heads, Andy, of people who actually wanted their heads rubbed.
But it seemed like he really was being helpful.
Yeah, well, whether it's before or not, he was doing it.
Right. And okay, coming out of this, though, coming out of the break, Brian, I think I have an idea of if there was a breaking point, where the breaking point occurred, and why we are in this place.
Because this story gets, the statement is not the strangest part of this story, and we'll get to all of this next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball, boxing, MMA, NFL futures, and more. It is never
futures on Russ's new agent.
it is never too early to start betting on the 2023 NBA champions. And there's been some
movement. The guy who dropped us.
There's been some movement. The new clubhouse leader since last we checked, the 2021 champion, Milwaukee Bucks. They are now 6-1 favorites. Boston has fallen just behind them at 6.25-1. Golden State at 6.5-1, followed by the Clippers, the Suns, and your Los Angeles Lakers. Jumping a bit, Brian, they are now 9-1 from 10-1 last time we had looked at these. Maybe Vegas thinks they know something about Kyrie Irving or Buddy Hield and or Miles Turner or Russ going scorched earth to restore his good name and let Thad Fauché weep at the lost commission of his new max contract. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
As we move into our second segment, reminder, Andy is still broadcasting from an empty room. You got no furniture. You just moved.
We just moved this weekend.
This is the equivalent of new car smell. You can't avoid it.
Here's the thing. I was aware of the echo when we began, but thank you, Brian, for making me hyper aware of it. I mean, it's like being told right before you're about to like go on camera for like a presidential address. Hey,
you get a little something.
Yeah. So this is the best I can do. We just moved. We do not have everything set up.
I'm happy. I'm happy you have Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Okay. So the notion that Westbrook would need to ask to be traded is ridiculous, and I think everybody understands that. But I, you know, you actually, you know what? I completely forgot. You were going to say something. You had something you wanted to get to.
Yeah, and you can hear it multiple times when it echoes.
Hello? Hello?
We had talked before.
Pinch hitting for Pedro Borbone.
We had talked before, Brian, about
that's
how,
a deep cut.
Yes, it is. As much as there was a, I think, reasonable chance that Russ had maybe a change of heart about wanting to leave, because it felt like during his scorched earth exit interview that he wanted to be out as much as seemingly the Lakers wanted him out. But he had been doing all these different things with Darvin Ham, who is known for being terrific with players. Like, as an assistant, one of his, you know, calling cards had been building relationships with players. And Darvin is also, quite frankly, somebody that you're not going to trifle with. Like, if you're looking to push around your coach, Darvin Ham is the wrong dude for that.
The squarest head of any human I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's a cinder block.
We will remind you again, he was shot in the face. He is not going to be afraid of Russell Westbrook. So there had been, I thought in my mind, a least plausible chance that Russ was willing to go into this thing, fresh start, new coach that was not Frank Vogel, yada, yada, yada. But then the freeze out happened in Vegas, Summer League, where he and LeBron were in the same gym, both the equivalent of courtside seats, and the two of them did not speak to each other, seemingly did not even look at each other, had different conversations with mutual people, but not with each other. And while I will fully acknowledge that Russell Westbrook can be an incredibly stubborn mother effer, and he is certainly a guy that is willing to carry a grudge and is willing to sit on whatever for principle, you know, hence the way he plays, I also feel like in this particular situation, LeBron clearly has, as they said on Seinfeld, hand. If LeBron wants to, if nothing else, for the sake of, you know, the public, for the sake of optics, just go over, dap up Russ, they do something stupid so the camera can pick up on it, and then go back to sitting apart and not turn this into a story. Yes, they can both do it,
but
LeBron has far more leverage.
Here's
I wonder if this is what made Russ say, you know what, F it, man. I'm not going to try anymore.
Okay.
And I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm just saying I wonder if that's what did it.
Well, and they may be related. They may not be related. I think it's very clear that they're not really getting along like the joie de vivre that was there when they had that lunch on the eighth floor of LeBron's house, you know, when they took the elevator up and did all that appears to have the esprit de corps, I think would have been a better way of putting it.
That ain't happening this summer.
Yeah. That was a while ago. Whatever it is, it's gone. And I will say, I kind of agree with you that, you know, LeBron could have and probably should have just unless if he was at all interested in avoiding this sort of optics controversy, could have taken the onus in doing it. But you could, you know, they're both this, that, whatever. This, though, after the mutual parting of ways, Rich Paul, who is obviously LeBron's agent, tweeted out, "It's a cold game." LeBron retweets with a fax, 3 exclamation points, chili face cold emoji, cold ass game, brother, and face palm.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue, Andy, that perhaps, you know, maybe they were both responsible for something in Vegas. Maybe they were both, could have been the better. This, though, appears to be straight up trolling of the situation between Russ and his agent. Now, it's a cold game that Russ fired his agent. Sure. You know, Rich Paul maybe just sticking up for Thad there and all that. So, yeah, it's a cold game. You're fired by your guy for telling him the truth. LeBron maybe just sticking up for, you know, Rich Paul and acknowledging that basketball is just a business, Andy. And you can't take away the business. That's just how it is. Maybe that's the explanation. But all of these folks are way too smart to think that we're not going to sit here and talk about it that way. And they know that full well. And this is 100% purposeful. And what I will say is that LeBron is unnecessarily escalating something that, like you pointed out, Russ said some stuff in the exit interview about the way that he was treated by LeBron, by the way he was treated by AD or whatever, that I am 1,000% sure ticked off LeBron something fierce. But it's looking like it's going to be real hard to trade Russell Westbrook, which is sort of the premise of this breakup.
As it turns out, there's not a sweepstakes for Russ.
It's not. The LeBron and AD were the sweepstakes. That was it. Like, you know, in hindsight, perhaps they overplayed their hand as a group, Rob Pelinka included. But the Lakers, to their credit, have done everything they can as an organization with Darvin Ham, whatever, to make it feel like we're all going to pretend that this is okay. And so next, Andy, I want to talk about LeBron and the problems that are being created if they can't figure this out, because he's probably going to be on the team in training camp, or at the very least, there's a really good chance it's going to happen. So let's talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Doer, the new sponsors of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Just this show across the entire network.
That's right. The Locked On Lakers podcast.
Stop. We don't need Doer being, you know, overly conscious of this. Okay. Knock it off. And Doer is the purveyors of the most comfortable pants in the world. Doer is created with the belief that comfort, style, and function all exist to complement each other in design, and a single pair of Doer pants can take you from the bike lane to the boardroom to dinner with friends. And that's the versatility you get with Doer. There's no more need to lug around different outfits, changing clothes in a bathroom stall like a dork. And all of their clothes are made using 95% natural fibers, which makes it so Doer is good for the planet while you actually look good doing it. So you're helping out the planet and stylish along the way. So drop by the store in LA, 170 South La Brea Avenue. It's in Mid-City, or you can order online, shopdoer.com. Use the exclusive code for our listeners to get 15% off. Locked On 15. Again, Locked On 15 for 15% off at Doer. Again, shopdoer.com, D-U-E-R, Doer, the world's most comfortable pants.
So look, the Lakers have a problem here, and the problem is twofold. They have a third star that they need to get rid of, that nobody wants. And they have stars that very clearly have beef, something, some sort of protein working between them right now. And they have done, I think, as good a job as possible of going through the motions and trying to make it so they could credibly open training camp and make it seem like this Westbrook thing could at least try to work. And LeBron is not helping. And look, I get, you know, LeBron, again, Russ said some stuff at the exit interviews, and I get all that. LeBron is torching the Lakers' ability in a lot of ways to kind of make this work as best it can. And I just don't, I don't see the currency in LeBron making the relationship, going kind of aggressively out of his way to make the relationship with Westbrook worse. And maybe I'm misinterpreting all these things that are going on.
Genie Bus recently, talked to our buddy Mark Medina and clarified that, according to her, the tweet about Kobe.
We'll try to get to that this week.
Yeah, you know, felt really cryptic and felt like it was about somebody in either involved with the Lakers or an incoming player or team clutch or whatever, that it was truly just about Kobe. And, you know, again, we can get into more detail about it later in the week. But the bottom line is, even if that is 100% true, where Jeannie really screwed up was, it was not perfectly clear what she was talking about during a very, shall we say, tense time with the Lakers. And Jeannie is smart and savvy enough to understand why she can't do that. But LeBron is smart
levels up in terms of the social media use and the manipulation and the understanding of these markets and all of these and all of this stuff. And I am not a, you know, a fan of the trade. I'm not a fan of there are a lot of things I don't like about the way Russ has done things. But, you know, part of the reason we're in this situation as a collective Laker nation, as they say, is because of LeBron and Anthony Davis and pulling for this deal. And what does he think this is going to do? Is it going to bring Russ around somehow? Is it going to make it easier to trade him? Like he can't force their hand into trying to, other than maybe just trying to force the Lakers into dumping Westbrook for whatever they can possibly get. And I don't care how bad it is, get him off of the roster, but they can't make Brooklyn trade Kyrie Irving for him.
That's what I was going to say, Brian, in particular, like the idea that, okay, this is LeBron applying maximum pressure on Rob Pelinka to say, fine, we will include two picks for Kyrie Irving. We will take on Joe Harris instead of Seth Curry, which reportedly Brooklyn would prefer because Joe Harris is the more expensive player with the longer contract. And like in his mind, LeBron is just putting Rob Pelinka's feet to the fire and turning this into a situation that absolutely cannot be salvaged, unwound, or anything other than Westbrook on another team. The problem with that, though, is until the Nets, I think at least, are in a position where they can get a suitable deal for Kevin Durant, or B, they can get a return for Kyrie that they can turn around and say, look, KD, we know Kyrie's your guy, assuming they are still guys. Who knows what's going on with that? But we know that you wanted to play with him, but we didn't trade him for picks and just like a salary dump. We actually got you good players coming in. Until they can do that, they are, by all accounts, either not going to budge or hope that Kevin Durant changes his mind. And unless Rob Pelinka can engineer some type of deal that is simply too good for Brooklyn to pass up, regardless of what's going on with KD, what LeBron's doing is not likely, I think, to make the deal happen.
No, everyone knows what the Lakers' best offer is. And the Lakers' best offer doesn't get bester if there's extra pressure on Pelinka. There's no other chips to add. Like, I mean, okay, it's the second first round pick. Maybe that's the holdup. Maybe it's not. It doesn't matter who's right. It doesn't matter which player has sort of the high ground from a basketball standpoint or a moral, like, I don't know who has behaved behind the scenes better or worse or whatever. What I do know is there is a really good chance Westbrook is going to be on the roster at the beginning of the season. If that's the case, I'm not saying it's 100% sure. I hope it's not, especially now. But if that's the case, the more everybody can pretend to be, you know, getting along, or at the very least not do things that are going to make the other party really angry or feel petty or any of these other things. And all that, like, do I think Russ firing his agent because his agent is telling him what I think is exactly the correct advice, if you're taking this statement at face value? Yes. I think, you know, that is not a smart thing to do. I think Rich Paul is making a point about your agent being fired for telling the truth is not incorrect. And I think LeBron talking about the cold business of this, like, yeah, it's all true. Except what the agent is saying is embarrassing to Westbrook. And for them to amplify it doesn't make training camp, the prospect of training camp, better. And if it doesn't help, it hurts.
Final note on this, and we might get into a little bit more into this over the course of the week, but
I feel like this could be a story that has legs.
But LeBron over the weekend dropped by the Drew League in LA, the infamous pro-am that's been going on for like 45 years or something. Brian and I are big, big proponents of the Drew League. We worked on a little bit behind the scenes on a documentary that Baron Davis co-directed and produced about the history of the Drew. And he dropped 42, and it was apparently really exciting. If it had not been a moving weekend for me, I would have tried to get down there. But in this game, he teamed up with DeMar DeRozan, who is, you know, an LA native, and he's played in the Drew a bunch of different times. But as I tweeted out at Cam Brothers, if you had told me LeBron played in this game specifically to troll Russ by teaming up with DeRozan, I wouldn't automatically believe you, but I wouldn't automatically not believe you either. Like, it just seems so, you know, perfect that he's
playing. By the way, Dino Smiley, the former commissioner, now the sort of ambassador, you know,
great dude,
commissioner emeritus of the Drew League, noted that Kyrie was supposed to play on Saturday. And which didn't.
Right. But here
he was coaching. He was doing a coaching clinic instead.
Right. Well, no, he wasn't just doing. Here's the thing. This is what makes it stranger than fiction, Brian, because obviously if Kyrie had showed up to the Drew, you know, he would have been on LeBron's team. Like, that's just a given.
That would have been,
and, you know,
amazing.
This whole thing would have been just like scorched earth by a hundredfold. He didn't go just to a coaching clinic, Brian. He went to a coaching clinic run by Phil Handy. So exactly. It's, if you're not going to show up at the Drew to team up with LeBron, that is just about as newsworthy a way as you could possibly do it. Yes, Kyrie and Phil Handy have a relationship going back with the Cavs, and Phil Handy is another guy that everybody knows gets along with the entire league. Everybody loves Phil Handy, but still.
All right, well, we'll see how much more we can continue unpacking. Locked On Lakers is where you go to get every day. You get these things, but Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get things like this, which I think most people really appreciate. Every day, remember, the Doer is where you go to get the pants. 170 South La Brea, shopdoer.com, Locked On 15. Really worth it to go down there, try the stuff on, go online, order it. I don't think you're going to be returning it. It is just super, super comfortable.
Dude, I wore the shorts for like 3 or 4 days straight during the move because it's just so comfortable. They're so comfortable.
Yep. All right. So we'll see everybody Tuesday.